for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as the city council makes its decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, I'd like to welcome everyone, and we'll move to item 1D, which is public input. Is there anyone present tonight who would like to give any input or testimony to the city council? Please raise your hand. I'll recognize you, and you'll have up to 5 minutes. Okay, seeing none, we'll move to roll call. All council members are present in person, except for Danae Valdez, and she asked to be excused. She had a death in the family, and I'd entertain a motion right now to excuse Danae.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's now move to the approval of our agenda tonight.
I make that motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All those
in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move now to the consent agenda.
Motion to
approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Going to move now to our current business. And our first item is the budget committees and schedule. Spencer had revised that schedule based on some changes that some council members had wanted. Just want to review that real quick. Can you bring that up, Tanya? Every year, the city council goes through its budget in committee with the different departments, general government, law enforcement, street, transportation benefit district, water, sewer, park and rec, solid waste, and special revenue. And in each one of those meetings, there's three city council people and the staff. And then through that process, things are pared from the budget, some things are added into the budget, and discussions are had. And then later we have what we call the budget retreat, and the budget then is reviewed by the entire city council and the public, and we go through that process, which leads us to adoption of a budget, usually that first week, first city council meeting in December. So this is our schedule, and council, would you please take a look at that schedule? Is everyone? First one will be the 25th of September with Danae, Gina, and Daryl on general government. And then we move to the 30th, the 1st, and the 2nd of October. There'll be a week break. And then we'll move to the park and rec, solid waste, and special revenue. Those times okay?
Are we going to be able to Zoom? I'm going to be gone September 30th.
Okay.
Law enforcement, we have a meeting that day.
We'll set up Zoom. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move now to item 4B, which is the Lighthouse presentation and funding request. Tonight we have with us Angela Kutsk and Dan Garza. So, Angela, do you want to present to the city council tonight your request?
All right, thanks again for having me this evening. I won't take a lot of your time. I know that I've been here before and explained the things that we've been doing at the Lighthouse. And then also, if you follow us on social media or have signed up to receive any emails, you've seen an update. So hopefully, what I'll do is present to you and remind you of some of the things that we've been doing, and then also encourage our partnership from here forward. So, and then also answer any questions along the way. Back in, over the last several years, we had, oops, maybe I'll wait. Go ahead. That's okay, I'll wait. These are the things that I'm going to be reviewing today, tonight, okay? Just a quick overview. Several years ago, I'd say about 3 years ago, we had RDI, Rural Development Initiatives, enter into our community, and they led focus groups. They led a lot of surveys. I think they collected more than 270 residential votes, and then also our input, and then also created a lot of different focus groups in our community, trying to figure out what it is that the community wanted. One of the things that they came up with was a resounding need for more activities for teens and young adults. I don't know if you're familiar with, I'm sure you are, with our population. We have the majority of our population are youth, and many of our citizens want things that are helping our youth move forward. Some of the priorities that have been identified is to have more youth opportunities outside of sports, especially in the way of arts, music, and leadership. They also wanted this report that they gathered, had a resounding need for a safe gathering space for teens and families. They wanted support for Latino engagement and cultural inclusion, career pathways such as internships, entrepreneurship, and vocational training, and improved access to resources like childcare, transportation, clothing, and food. And these are the programs that have been our guiding star for over the last couple of years. So as you can see here, the Lighthouse has worked to create a supportive and safe place where youth can grow in confidence, leadership, and life skills. We've had after-school programs. We've created mentorship programs through partnerships, especially through the Juvenile Service Department here, the Adams County Juvenile Service. And we've led Boys and Girls Clubs, mentoring a group every 6 to 8 weeks throughout the year. Some of the we've developed positive relationships that have been ongoing. A lot of those students return back to the Lighthouse and seek further mentorship even after the programs. Just a reminder on some of the programs that we've implemented so far in the last couple of years has been a successful Teen Mentor Match entrepreneur program where we've had an average of 10 students and who have completed the program. These are students who have come to the Lighthouse twice a month during the school year and have gotten advice and encouragement in their entrepreneurial desires. And what I've seen from there is growth, not only in students who want to pursue business, but personal growth. And someone who has been able to come along them and encourage them in life after high school. We've also had successful mentorship programs. This last summer, we held a youth club with the Adams County Juvenile Department Center, and we took a group of students to Charter College, and that was really rewarding because a lot of the students were able to see hands-on ways that they could further their education. We almost had to like pull them away and say it's time for us to go to the next thing. So they were very engaged, which we were encouraged to see that they could see that there was another way of furthering their education. We've had successful partnerships. so many partnerships over the last 2 years. Just some to name, just a few to name right off. We've partnered with PAID, which is out of Integrated Behavioral Health, and partnering in bringing programs that way. We've partnered with the Food Bank. We've had a lot of partnerships in bringing our back to school giveaway that we held right before school started with Walmart and then other, and Rotary Club and other outside agencies. We implemented the Fresh Fit Closet. So this has been a big update to the Othello community. We heard a big outcry of the need of people to have a place to go to get resources here in Othello that are that they can have when they need it. And that's what the Fresh Fit Closet has done. We've served mostly teens, but we opened it up to the community and had a large giveaway right before school started. And it was great to see the families come out and use the clothing and be met that way. We've hosted local nonprofits. So we are one of the only places. There are a couple, including City Hall, but we are one place who will host nonprofits to come in and either have meetings, gatherings. We've hosted parent-to-parent group out of Moses Lake, who meets on every third Tuesday at the Lighthouse for parents of children with disabilities. We've hosted other nonprofit groups, and those are coming in for free to use our building. One of the things that I've noticed in my time of being where I've been is that we have a lot of services from Grant County that have been deemed to reach Adams County, but they haven't had a connection or they haven't had the place to have that. And so one of the things that I've been working on is to create those relationships and bringing those more into Adams County, which we should be having in our area. After school activities, we have hosted after school activities for students to come to, and then our back to school giveaway. We handed out 250 bags of groceries for free to families, and also more than 200 backpacks and school supplies. We also, like I said, had the free clothing giveaway. And so it was just, in addition, we had the a lot of our resources, our local resources table. And so people were able to get resources here from Othello in addition to that. One of the goals that I would like to try to continue, as long as we can continue with funding, is an after-school program. It was one of the things that I took on initially to see about having it happen here in Othello again. I know that we had the Boys and Girls Club, which the funding ran out. And so when I approached our Mid-Columbia Boys and Girls Club, which we would be under, they wanted 3 years of expenses in the bank before they'd even consider opening up here. With that information, what I have determined just in talking and then also seeing what our community is responding to, I really believe that Othello is going to need to build it up ourselves. I don't know that our businesses right now are willing to put money towards that. I think they want to see what we can do at a grassroots level and then build onto that. Maybe some point we will be at a Boys and Girls Club level, but I would like to see a start from the bottom and work up. And then what that does is that ensures stability and then something that can be sustainable when we have the buy-in from the community. This last summer, I used some of the grant money that I've been given to explore the after-school programs and started a youth club and then also kids club. So with those two things, the kids club was during the month of July, and I had students be volunteers, teens be the volunteers of the small groups and created activity centers where the kids ages 5 through 13 could participate and move through these centers. What I was trying to see is if we could get enough interest from youth to be the leaders, and then also to see all those little fine details of checking in and making sure that students are staying on task. And so it was a great learning experience. I believe it's something that we can build on. I would like to eventually move towards having the teens who are in over each group be paid. I would love to see it be a paid position, and not only giving our students job skills, but then also serving our younger kids too and our families. And that's the way the Boys and Girls model is, Boys and Girls Club model is set up also. With the youth club, that's where we met with, it was between 8 to 10 youth. And we met weekly with them to go over life skills, financial awareness, and teaching, and so on. Okay. So with that, I am asking for our funding with the city ended in July, and so I am asking for $12,500 to finish out this year, which would include through August through December. The next one that I would like to propose is the $30,000 for 2026, and that would go to help expand the Lighthouse programs and services, focusing on the after-school clubs and the mentorship.
So, Council, the $12,500 is actually still in the budget. The contract with the Lighthouse ended as, well, they had a transition, as you recall. We had, was it Jesus or Jesse?
Jesse Campos.
Yeah, Jesse Campos, and we had that contract with them. And then the school district hired him. And so there was a period of time of a transition that the city didn't use those ARPA funds that we had put forth to, you know, to meet the requirements of this contract. And so anyway, the timing of it ended in July. But when we funded this in the 2025 budget, we funded for $30,000 for the whole year. And so what they're asking for is something that is already in our budget, but I wanted to bring this before the council so that you could either discuss it and agree with it and allow them to continue to get $2,500 a month through the rest of this year, or whether you don't want to do it or whether you want to increase it.
Well, I have a question in regard to what you're doing now in relationship to what you set up in the first place to do. It was a deterrent. It was someone that the younger youth of that were on the borderline of going one direction or the other could go to talk to somebody. It was being used by the court system for attorney could actually sentence a kid to go visit and learn from your program because he got caught doing something he shouldn't have been doing. That was, you know, we were behind that. The prosecuting attorney, the youth prosecuting attorney, we were behind that because it was a deterrent. It was giving them something to do besides going to jail, you know, to being sent off to becoming a better criminal, because everybody that goes to jail becomes a better criminal. So that's all changed. That's gone. Now you're asking us to fund a feel-good, get-well thing that your church puts on or whatever. So it's different. It's changed.
Okay.
Completely from what you first came to us for. I want, anytime I would expect for public funds to be presented to an organization, there would be a tracking of every penny that was spent. Mm-hmm. We've just been going through a huge doge with the federal government, looking at everything that money's being spent on. Mm-hmm. And I support that 100%. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would want to know where every penny was being spent and what for, and what benefit to the city of Othello, because it's a city of Othello's money we're receiving.
Well, that money would be going to Angela for to pay her. It wouldn't be necessarily going to fund other programming.
That's what it is.
One of the things that I like about this, it's totally different, it's right what you're saying. But one of the things that I like about this is the entrepreneurship. You know, any time we do something good for the city, right? Or we're taking kids off the street.
Okay.
We've always, as a city, helped out, you know, in material things as far as beautification committee. We've always had funds that have gone out, you know, to do better things within the city, which is okay, right? It's our city. So when it comes to doing something for our community, for one, there was 12 kids that finished that program. So if you take one kid off the street that was gonna be a drunk,
drug addict, drugs,
whatever it might've been, mm-hmm. we took one kid off the street. So us as a city, I see it as a great benefit to the city. For one, check this out. Let me talk. So the school, John, because the school is starting a program for contractors, right? There's a need for contractors within the Columbia Basin. So entrepreneurship, teaching kids how to go out in the field and work, not the field, the field of work, put it that way, right? Is very necessary for this area. Very necessary for this area.
Sure.
So a lot of times we look at the material thing, but we don't see the benefit that it's gonna bring the city.
I'm not in disagreement with you in regard to the program. I'm in disagreement with funding the program. Now, if you want to take money and contribute it to her program, because she's a nonprofit organization, and you can get a tax deduction for doing so, then do it. But we're talking about utilizing public funds, money generated by the city, okay? And giving it over to her, there's got to be an accountability for it.
Can I?
Well, the accountability for it, John, I just said it, you know. I think it'll be a good program for our city. For one, I think they're teaching kids to go out and work, taking kids off the street, right? I don't know what Jesse Campos was gonna do. I remember when he came in, our main goal was the graffiti, right?
Yeah.
I remember talking about that.
He was
targeting gang members.
Targeting gang members.
It was an NI gang. They were trying to get these kids out of gangs. And that's why I kind of feel, you know, and I actually got a statement for you. It's actually a positive statement. But I kind of feel that we got bamboozled when they first came here, because they came and they pushed this program real hard about, well, we're gonna take care, get these kids out of gangs. You know, that was the big thing. And then just a short months later, oh no, we're not doing that no more. We're calling the cops on any gang members that show up. So I was really irritated with that. But in fact, in this year's budget, I was gonna advocate for even removing them out of the budget at all. But the last time you were here, you told us a story about a girl that was in really bad shape. Mm-hmm. And you actually brought her out of it, your program brought her out of it. Mm-hmm. And I had a complete change of heart because of that one story. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't gonna advocate it to remove you guys out of the budget. But I do have a question. How much of that $30,000 has already been paid to them that we budgeted for them?
Well, the contract from July last year to July this year, the 12 months, we paid that $30,000. So we've paid the contract.
So they've already gotten their $30,000 for this year. So this is an additional 12.5.
Well, but that went, okay.
I understood that Jesse Campos left and there was money left over. That's why the 12.5 is there. Is that what you were trying to say earlier?
No, sort of, but how that works is that when we budgeted for the 2025 year budget, we budgeted $30,000, which was for 12 months, but this contract only had 7 months of the year.
So there's another.
Because it ended in July. So there are still 5 months left. So we only paid out in the 2025 budget 22.5. But the contract, so that's what I'm trying to explain. The contract went from July to July, but we do an annual calendar year budget.
Yes.
So we budgeted $30,000 for 2025, and we've only paid $22.5. So I'm saying her request is already, we've already budgeted that money.
But because we budgeted it.
Yeah.
So
does that mean we have to spend it?
There's only $7,500 left if they've already been paid $22.5.
No, I think you meant $18.5.
No, he just said we budgeted $30,000. They've been paid $22.5. That leaves a balance of $7,500.
Yeah, $7,500. Was it $7,500? Was that
no,
the figure?
No, $5.
So
September, October.
So Councilman Garza said something about one kid, and you're 100% correct on that. You know, if 12.5.
No, it was 12.5. Sorry. It is 12.5. Gene is correct. I'll go back to what Gene said. It was 18,000.
So they've only been paid 18.5?
Or 17.5
this year.
They've been paid 17.5.
And I'm going to get my calculator out.
But yeah, you're 100% on track with that. 100%.
Can I address a couple of the issues brought up?
We were kind of concentrating on getting kids that were already in gangs and trying to get them out and see if we can get them out of that environment. So now we're getting kids that hang out there, and it's a place where you can go and I mean, I know family that goes there, and they say the kind of kids that go there, you know, it's like you want them there, right? Because you don't want them on the street, right? Because the more you keep them there in an environment like that is better. They have less of a chance of being going out and going into gangs. So we're actually preventing that in the long run. So I think it's a good thing for our community. I know it's tax money, our tax money from the city, right? But are we going to do something good for the city? Can we spend that money in trying to do something for our kids in the city that need it? I think it's really good. What Angela is doing is a good project, if you want to put it, say project, because it's something, once again, that's good for a community. One thing that I wanted to point out that's very, very, I mean, we tried with Brad Borsma to do this, but in what she's doing and kind of training kids to work, it's a huge for our city, okay? Not only in entrepreneurship, but what do we need in our community? Not only our community, but abroad, the Columbia Basin. Once again, construction managers, welders. We need
plumbers,
truck drivers. We already have a truck driving school, which is good. Those are the needs for our community, right? We agronomists, fieldmen, right? I mean, all the old guys are leaving, but these kids that are leaving school and going to college, they don't know that this is available to them. That's what we have to teach them. That's how we grow our community. And I think Angela can lead them that way. Another thing is quality control guy. I'm in the building, right? So for me to hire a quality control guy, a guy that goes and kind of checks out the house and puts a stamp on it, you can't find a guy like that. And if you find him, 100, 120, 150 grand, right? You can't find him. So I think a project like this, if we run it the right way, I think it'll bring all this to play. I really do.
Yeah, I also want to point out too that kids that come from that type of a background, that their social skills are not really great. And in order to get jobs and be productive in the community, they need to develop their social skills. Mm-hmm. That's something that Angela's program really helps with. Businesses are very grateful when kids aren't graffitiing the side of their building. They're grateful when they're not getting ripped off. The business community appreciates it, and I think that what Angel said is correct. If we save one, if we get one off of the street, if we get one into a productive society where they're working and buying their groceries and raising a family and getting married, that that's all a good thing for this community.
Can I address a couple things?
Really brought to, you know, here, how many bags did you give?
250.
250. I mean, I know because I came from there. I know what it was to go to school with one pencil and that's it. I came from there, right? So by giving these kids the needs to start school is awesome. It's a big deal. If they're making time to put bags together and give to the community and give to the kids that do not have the means to get the school supplies, it's a good thing for our community.
So.
So a couple comments. I want to break in here right now. You mentioned the Mid-Columbia Basin Boys and Girls Club stated that you had to have 3 years of funding in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking probably $200,000, $300,000 they want you to have, some weird large number. And the ask here is for $30,000 seed money to grow the youth in our community. It's obvious that we're not going to get it outside the basin. We're not big enough. We're sort of on an island. And I think $30,000 to fund small portions of food, backpacks, trips to places that these children would not be able to see. I grew up in Richmond, California, where there was a program just like that that pulled me out of my Section 8 area and saw that there was more out there than just people on the street corner shooting dice. I applaud you for that. I strongly recommend that we give $30,000, not give, invest $30,000 of tax dollars to fund programs.
Thank you.
They're only asking for 12.5 now. The 30 grand is for next year's budget.
Yes.
I also believe I heard you mention along somewhere in there, you are working with Adams County Juvenile, correct?
Yes. Yes. I'd like to address a few things that have come up so that I can clear up some things. I appreciate you bringing up the initial proposal that I brought or that we brought in when I was first brought on. And I'm a business education teacher, so I'm very much, I taught accounting, I'm very much about crossing the T's, dotting the I's. That's my mindset, so I appreciate that. When I first came, we can go back into the minutes and actually look at the presentation I gave. It was different than what was assumed under Jesse Campos. What I brought was what he was doing, but in a preventative way. And we can go back, and I don't have the slides up with me right now, but it was to address the issues that I, as an educator, saw were the gaps that we don't have time in the classroom to address. And so I stepped away from the classroom voluntarily to address these things that I saw as gaps that can't be done in the school day or in a school setting because of time, budget, and resources. So we can look at that, and I would encourage you to go back and look at that presentation. The other thing that I would say, what Jesse Campos did, his attempts were amazing. He's doing great things. I follow him. He's in Tri-Cities doing wonderful things with specifically gang-related activities. What I would like to propose is that what I bring to the table is what he was doing with part, and I'm partnering with people who are helping me, and then also and we're helping each other, and then also in addition providing these preventatives. So without, I don't know what his program was specifically, but with what I'm bringing, it's an addition to what was the initial concern. My approach is preventative. I'll give you a story. This last year, we had a student on our entrepreneur, in our entrepreneur class, and I'm going to be careful that I don't say too much, because, but I want to give enough to give you a background. The spring before, we caught him on camera.
Selling drugs.
So my initial response was to call the school SRO. I called the school SRO. What do you want to do with this? It's on our property. What do we, I was more about legally, what do we need to do? I wanted to get him help, whatever needed to follow that. They took it from there, and I understand that he was suspended for 3 days, okay? He came back to our establishment, and I was away to a conference in the Tri-Cities. And when he came in, he left and gave us a nice little gesture in our camera on the way out, okay? And that was on a Friday. They called me from the cafe, and they said, hey, we've been visited, this is what he did. And I said, let's all handle it when we get in on Monday. Monday came, he didn't come back. Tuesday came, he didn't come back. Wednesday, he comes back. He walks in, sits during the in the cafe like nothing happened. And my approach is not to shame. I want restoration. So I walked over to him very quietly, and I said, you know, I said, I think you owe those ladies an apology. What, miss? I didn't, what did I do? And I said, we have cameras. You owe them an apology. I said, I'll write you a note back to school. They'll accept you back late, but I want you to stay after and write an apology, or tell them. So he stayed after, and he apologized to the cafe workers. It was a sincere apology. And after that, he returned back the rest of the spring. This was his junior year. His senior year, he starts my entrepreneur. He signs up to come to my entrepreneur program. He was the most faithful. I didn't take attendance. I don't grade. It's more of a mentorship. He was the most faithful person there on time, involved. I can't even say anything more about him, but I saw him through to the end of his senior year. He was very respectful towards me. If I ever thought that I got into something, I knew that this kid would have my back. He was that respectful. And I want to think that we intervened in a way that spoke to him. I can't say that, you know, we all make our own choices. We can't control anyone's choices. But I want to say that we planted something in him to let him know that this is how you get further ahead, and showed him that way. There were some other things that I wanted to, let's see, address. Trying to think of anything else. Is there anything else that you had other questions on that I needed to touch on?
So John, refresh my memory. When Jesse Campos was here, you mentioned something about he had to go to the prosecuting attorney, or
It was the juvenile prosecuting attorney was looking for a means to deal with some of the individuals, the kids that he was coming across, you know, through his court. How he could steer them a different direction, because some of them were, you know, right at that point where they could go really bad or go good, you know. So that's what we undertook when we started in this journey, mm-hmm. was that Jesse was going to be that guy. He was going to mentor these kids, let them know, scare them straight, do whatever that he had to do, and you know, work through the prosecuting attorney, the juvenile prosecuting attorney's office, the judge or whatever. Yeah.
So, Angela, I think, did I hear you say that you were willing to kind of work in that area a little bit?
I am, yes.
So she is. So how does she connect to what he was doing as far as getting in contact with the attorney?
Well, I think she works with the juvenile department now. Yeah,
I do. We work hand in hand with these students who are on the line, and we meet with them through the Boys and Girls Club. And I believe that our approach is more preventative. When I first started this job, I started in the fall, and there was a no skip policy. There were gangs. I found out later, I want to think that they were probably terror, making it their territory. We had two different gangs that were rivals. When I came in, there was a group of boys that were coming every morning, and they would stay at the lighthouse. They were ones who were being helped the previous year away from the gangs. Being new, I just thought I'll see what happens. It got to the point where we have a cafe and we have a business. And if you have a business, you want people to enter in feeling safe. They were doing things that were making our people not feel safe. I ended up trespassing 7 of them, and I believe that I let them know that no, that's not allowed in public places. It's interesting, one of those ended up back into our boys club and girls club together. But beside that, I don't, you could bring in someone if you wanted that to be your main focus to work on gang prevention. My motive is to address them where they're at, but then also provide the other things that are needed to show them how to live in society. He was probably doing that. Like I said, he's doing amazing things. But I think what I do is I bring that plus other things. We have 52 teens signed up to serve in the Rotary booth off of what I've done in the last week of getting teens to sign up and volunteer, because I've partnered with the Rotary Club. We have 52 teens you're gonna see out at the Rotary booth between Tuesday and Saturday. I mean, there's a lot of clubs, but these are students who are probably maybe not a part of a club. They're not in sports. There's the students who we're seeing need some extra guidance and another outlet of community service.
That's great, Angela. Thank you.
So moving forward in the future, we have to establish a new contract. If you're going to want to get funds, public funds, from the city of Othello, then it's got to be spelled out in a contract as it was in the beginning when Jesse was here and he was doing the work that he was supposed to be doing.
I agree.
And that there's an accountability for the expenditures of the public funds that are being done, okay? And I don't know, this is something that should be funded by donations from clubs and businesses and things like that. It should not be, otherwise the responsibility of the city to fund this program. Otherwise, the city should open up a program in their public, in their park and rec department, you know, seek out to bring children, you know, in after school and stuff like that, and control it. But if we're just giving money over to a nonprofit organization, public funds for them to take and use, that I got a little bit of issue with. But if you want to develop a contract and specifically spell out what you're going to do to benefit the public by what you're doing with every dollar that we're giving you, then fine, let's do it. But
what more would you like to see? What, give me an example of what else, because I'm always up for improvement. Well, so what else would you like to see in a contract?
The reason we entered into it in the first place, it was through the prosecuting attorney and the judge for deferrals for kids that were going to either be sent away or they got into this program and benefited from it.
So you want more of a connection with myself and the prosecuting attorney?
I want something that tells me that the public funds we're giving you are doing something to benefit the people of the community.
I don't know how else to spell it out other than giving 250 backpacks.
If you scared straight 10 individuals out of 30 by having Jesse talk to them in the manner he talked to them and provide them with the information that he knows from life experience, then that's 10 individuals that we turned into good
people.
So when
you use the word scared straight, what do you mean by that?
That's a figure of speech. That's the way they, you know, they tell these kids the life you're going towards.
Yeah.
It's not a good life.
Right.
So something's got to click in their brain. They got to get scared and say, I don't want to go that way. I got to turn around and go the other way.
John, well, that what you're saying right there, that's exactly what she's doing, because she has them in the building. She's talking to them before they go that way. See, Jesse Campos was getting them when they were already in, right? And then taking them to a prosecuting attorney. This is totally different. So you're guiding them the right way before they go the wrong way. And I'm not saying we're going to catch everybody.
No, I know.
But, if, you know, one off the street, like I said, it could be a kid that...
You can make tons of arguments for giving them a place to go. That's what you're doing. You're actually giving them a place to go, to gather and to get together and functions and activities, you know, that you've spelled out for them to do.
Okay.
But you're running that as an organization, a nonprofit organization.
Uh-huh.
You're funding that with public funds.
But not entirely.
To a point.
Yeah.
But they keep coming back and asking for that funding. So what I'm saying is you either gotta boost your recruitment on community support from individuals throughout the community, and the portion that we give of public funds, because we're giving public money to them, has to be accounted for.
For the city of Othello, yeah. I think what your mind, you probably need to decide the approach, you know, and that's something you all need to decide, is because there's probably a difference in approach and how to.
Well, look, you said businesses in town are very supportive of the programs that you're running. Well, their support should come in finding, you know, if you want to create carpenters, you want to create bidders, you want to create, you know, mechanics, you want to create agronomists, you want to create those. You need to go to those people that are going to be using that and supporting that and get your funding from them.
Okay, so I want to get back to the agenda here, which this is the agenda, but there's been a request made tonight to extend the contract through the end of the year. And that's one issue. The second request was to fund $30,000 for next year.
I think
it's premature tonight to fund $30,000 for next year.
Sure.
But I don't think it's premature to ask for the request to amend the contract to the end of the year. And given the fact that the city had budgeted and still has that money in the budget, I'd entertain a motion to approve that first request. And the second request will go through our budget process.
I motion to finish the year with the lighthouse.
I got one more question before.
Okay, go ahead.
So, like I said, I had a complete change of heart on your program. You did that the last time you were here. But are you getting funding from the school district or Adams County or any other government agency?
Okay. So our funding comes from Bethel, has purchased the building. So I don't know if you are aware of how that all works. Bethel purchased the building and pays for our operating expenses.
School district's not giving you any funding at all?
No, they...
This is a prime program that the school district
should
be funding.
You would think, right?
Have you asked them?
Yeah.
And they turned you down?
They would like to partner if it comes up with after-school activities.
But isn't that what you're doing?
if they, yeah.
I think.
So are you questioning whether, I guess there's two ways to look at it. The funds of public school, you know, are very tight right now.
So are the cities.
So, exactly. So for them to consider funding that, they were going to apply for a grant that would bring in, it was meant to bring in a community person for that. So I don't know, they applied for it and I haven't heard if they've received it or not.
Well, I think that's horrible if the school district's not, but I'll second your motion.
So just add a little bit to that, and I was gonna say that. I mean, it was 30,000 from the city and 30,000 from Bethel, right? And it's not a religious group, right? It's something that the Lighthouse has for the community, right? So Angela's taking 60 grand, which she's taking a lot less than she was getting.
I'm making half of what I could make.
Half what she was making. I didn't want to bring that up, but since you did. So she's making half of what she was making. And the job she's doing for our community, for our kids is, I mean, there's no word for it. She's doing a great job. Plus fundraising, John, this is just money for her, you know, as an employee per se, right? Now she does fundraising throughout the year to keep this program going. So they're not sitting, they're always doing something. You know, I've always been out of town when they're doing something, so I haven't been there. But I know because Dan's a good friend of mine, and I know everything that's going on. So as far as them getting funding, it's happening. Now, John, let me say, now who says that this won't move to that direction that you're saying? If the community sees that this is a good program, then I'll donate to it.
I have,
what's the first one that I donate to?
I have not criticized any individual. I have not criticized the program itself. The only thing I have done here is question the fact that we're turning over public funds to a nonprofit organization that initially, when we did it, it had a reason for it, okay? Right now, the reason for it is to surplus their program, to give to their program. I'm not criticizing your program, mm-hmm. but I'm saying you've got to take a look at it as the money that we collect within this community, whether it's through sales tax or property tax or whatever, that we're responsible for that money. As Corey has exemplified many, many times, all I'm saying is that it doesn't sit well with me, being that it changed from what we first started out as to what it is now, okay? And I'm not being critical of the program. Yes, there's a need for the program. It's doing good. From every time you've come and talked to us, you've shown us the results. It's just the fact that we're having to give public money to support this program.
So you're proposing that I approach the businesses and approach the school district to pay me to do what I'm doing.
You're a nonprofit organization. Go okay. Get some donations. There's the Rotary Club, there's the Eagles.
And they've helped us generously, yeah, with our programs.
Yeah.
So we have gotten funding from Inovia, RDI, Rotary Club. We had a fundraiser, and that money goes towards our programs. There aren't very many grants that you can apply for that pay for someone to run the program.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm here for.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that I support you 100% in what you're doing, and I've never been critical of you or of what you're doing, but I really think you should look for another funding source besides the city of Othello.
But we fund and you approve the car club, all the rodeo.
That's completely different. That's
under the tourism.
Yeah, but it's still public money.
But that's what that money is specifically taxed for.
Right.
They bring people to the
this
community.
This would be specifically for her that had $12,500.
But we're taking kids off the street.
Angel.
Okay, so, all right, let's, you can vote your conscience. All those,
okay, so I motion to finish off the year with a lighthouse.
Ori seconded it.
I seconded, yeah.
Okay, so let's vote and amend the contract, yeah. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All right.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Moving along in our agenda, this item C, 4C, addendum to fire protection agreement with Adams County Fire District number 5. The fire district board of directors had met probably, I believe it was last month, because the city had been recommended by our transition consultant to have an independent examination and of our city fire apparatus and equipment. And so he had scheduled that with me to be September 11th, which is this Thursday. And they were waiting apparently to give me this agreement until I made arrangements with them, which I called Tom this afternoon, and this all took place about 4 o'clock. So I'm going to read this agreement. Let's go to A15. City station facilities and equipment. The buildings and equipment owned by the city shall remain the property of the city. The district shall relinquish its control over and right to use the city fire station located at 250 South Broadway on December 1st, 2025. The district shall relinquish its control over and right to use the city-owned fire apparatus at such time as the city conducts its third-party testing of the fire apparatus, which, as I mentioned, will take place on Thursday. The district shall return the apparatus to the city fire station when requested by the city for the testing. At the time the station and fire apparatus are relinquished, the district shall have no further control over the use of the station or apparatus and shall have no obligations to maintain or repair the station or apparatus and the provisions of section 15.1, 15.4, and Appendix C shall terminate with no further actions of the parties. So I had our city attorney review that agreement, and I had gone back and forth with Tom Salisbury, the fire chief. Probably, I think we've had one in-person meeting and 4 phone calls since 4 o'clock. This is what she recommended, our city attorney, based on the amendment you provided and her quick review of the original document, her read that this amendment will result in the immediate expiration of the provisions of Section 15 related to use and maintenance of the city fire apparatus in the original agreement as soon as third-party testing occurs. So what that means is once we have this equipment tested, they are going to fight city fires using, they'll continue to put out fires in the city. They'll use their own equipment, the county fire trucks. The amendment also states that the district will be vacating the city facility effective December 1, 2025. It also removes Appendix C of the original agreement, wherein the district agreed to pay for the costs of minor repairs of the equipment, as well as operating supplies and utility expenses. The language at the time the station and fire apparatus are relinquished, the district shall have no obligation to maintain or repair the station or apparatus, and the provisions of Section 15.1 through 15.4 and Appendix C will terminate with no further action of the parties is a bit confusing, given they previously state the control and right to use the city's fire apparatus will cease. They are going to vacate on December 1. She asked me to look if there were any additional costs and considerations for the city, and this is where part of the back and forth with Tom went, for calls for service and or the liability that the city would incur for them using their equipment. And so I had that discussion with Tom, and there's an email. And by the way, they have a fire district meeting tomorrow night. Adams County Fire District 5 agrees to hold the city harmless from any and all liability and damage for using their fire trucks to put out fires that take place in the city after this agreement takes effect. Additionally, there will be no increase in the contract amount for the using the fire district equipment to fight fires in the city. And then lastly, our attorney said that there should be some carve-out language in this agreement in case of extreme need or emergency that the city consents to the use of the fire apparatus should the fire district deem it necessary. Mark, you mentioned that earlier. If they need a
ladder truck,
they need a ladder to use our ladder truck for, you know, a multi, like an apartment building or an industrial complex, they don't have that type of equipment. By signing this agreement and the provisions that I mentioned earlier and this provision, the city council would agree to allow them to use that equipment in an extreme emergency. And I think that that's reasonable. I'll just tell you my opinion about this. At first, I was like, okay, why are you guys want to do this? And I think that when you look at, okay, there's some minor things that they're responsible for maintaining the equipment. But once we have this equipment tested, they're no longer going to use our equipment. So that'll then, all that equipment will then be returned into our fire station. By vacating December 1, we can get the upgrades to the facility done that we're going to need to be done after the architect and the engineers do their examination of the building. So that gives us more time. Additionally, the fire chief is going to want to be able to have access to the building and the equipment when we hire a fire chief to be able to train the staff and volunteers on how to use the equipment. So Adams County has thought about this. And while we have a compressed time frame to go through this, I would have liked to have had more time. But the attorney sees that this is, with these other changes, she thinks that this will work out. This gives both of us of another step in the process of the city creating its own fire department and having the means and the legal ability to do so. And with that, I'll answer any questions you guys have.
So with that, so the people that are the ones that are working there now, is any going to come work for us? No, not.
We're not hiring anybody yet. Oh, the first step is going to be to hire a fire chief. We're actively pursuing that. I've been on vacation for 2 weeks, but I'm going to have a discussion tomorrow with the transition consultant, and we're going to take some steps in that direction.
So it's legal to do that?
That's yes. Mm-hmm.
My question?
We're pretty tight for time.
I know.
So the only issue I see is as of whatever the 11th, when they inspect that equipment, Adams County stops using it. And then if they need for an emergency to use the city's equipment and something happens to that equipment, something breaks, they'd be under no obligation to say, hey, you know what? Your equipment's broken. or they'd be no under, obviously under no obligation to fix it. The other thing is, you know, with that equipment can't just sit for 7 or 8 months and then all of a sudden be expected to put in for emergency services. So that would mean our motor pool is going to have to maintain those trucks.
Okay, we're gonna have to have, somebody's gonna have to maintain the trucks, but the trucks aren't gonna sit for 7 or 8 months because they're gonna be taken out and used as we train volunteers, and the fire chief is gonna be actively, you know, implementing the new protocols and program for the city.
So is this from the district or is this from us?
This agreement?
Yes.
Came from the district.
Okay, so why are they trying to push this on us? Why are they trying to get out
by
the contract
now?
All
yeah,
of a sudden?
Yeah, what are they trying to do?
I know you said about somebody inspecting our equipment and stuff.
They're relieving themselves of the liability of having to pay for anything that needs to be done.
However, that it's limited to $1,000. Under $1,000 is the liability that they have under our contract. So as far as the money issue goes, I don't think that's that big of an issue.
Is that what you mean by minor repairs then?
Minor repairs, yeah. The contract states that any minor repairs under $1,000, they will pick up. Anything over $1,000, we got to pick up. So that's been the way it's been since the beginning. However, Tom's reasoning to me was that they are concerned about the liability that we have our own separate independent people come and examine the equipment, and then they're still liable for using that equipment and after somebody else has looked at it. I thought it was kind of flimsy, but.
Makes no sense.
That makes no sense at all.
They don't want the liability is what they said.
That's a third party, which they probably use third parties for some of their stuff. I mean, everybody does that. You don't get one of us to go out there and inspect it. You get a third party that's their job that they do.
I know.
I think they're just trying to get out of the contract, and I don't think it's right.
My concern is that
we're still paying them
for an unknown number of months. We'll have equipment that deals with water that's going to sit stagnant and not be maintained through daily, weekly, and monthly maintenance checks.
That's why
for it to sit for 6-7 months and then be called to action, it's not reasonable.
So I kind of get where they're coming from. If we're paying to have it inspected, which by all rights, that's the right thing to do, obviously, but if they continue to use it, then we've got to have it inspected again before the city takes complete control of it. So it kind of makes sense to me that the district wants to do this.
But we're supposed to be hiring those people.
Hiring
people to do that.
And even
a fire chief, an assistant.
And even if the equipment fails, we would still be responsible for the repair of it. But at least right now we'll get a snapshot in time knowing what we need to either repair or not repair with these major pieces of equipment. I'm not comfortable with just saying, hey, it's inspected, now you can let it sit for 7 months.
So that was the first question I asked. And Mayor says that they're gonna be using it, the fire chief, and obviously our motor pool is gonna have to, because I know they do take those trucks out and drive them and they run the pumps and all that. And so that's gonna have to continue to get done.
What is our timeline on hiring?
We want to have a fire chief in place by December.
So Mayor, there was no agenda memo attached to this. What are you looking for? Do you want us to make a motion to approve? signing of this agreement, or what are we doing?
Okay, before we do that, I want to ask Anthony a couple of questions. Anthony, could you come to the microphone?
No.
No.
Don't put me on the spot.
No, this is just some general questions. So I know there's been some concern about the trucks. What they're saying is, in this agreement, if we agree to it, is that we're going to have it checked out, the apparatus, they're going to test the ladders, they're going to test everything, the pumps, the safety, the, you know, what equipment's on it, mandatory equipment, everything, that everything's working. And then basically it's going to go in back into the city fire station. And after that, they're not going to use it anymore. So how often do they, because I'm not familiar with the fire district's operation, but how often are they driving the equipment around? Are they testing and retesting these pumps on a weekly, monthly basis? What are, I'm sure there's probably hose checks periodically. What exactly takes place?
So I'm just a volunteer, not full-time. So the truck checks are done weekly. Mm-hmm. So the full-time staff checks the trucks out completely and drive them weekly, checking the fans, chainsaws, all the apparatus. So it's done on a weekly check.
Let's see.
And I guess my question that is, does the Public Works Department have someone that is emergency vehicle qualified to operate these vehicles?
Not yet.
So then how?
We do have them, they are certified now, but there's still some more certification that they need to become an emergency vehicle technician. They're working on it, but they're not there yet.
Is that the only question?
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
Was there any other questions you guys had?
No.
Okay, so. Yes, thank you, Anthony. Yeah, you can sit down. Sorry. I mean, this hasn't been, I mean, it's been somewhat like a divorce. Some of it's been a little messy, but I mean, he starts the conversation off with, well, if you guys don't sign it, we're not going to let you guys, this is right now under the contract, this is our building and our equipment. I said, yeah, but we own it. He said, well, he says, no, you know, well, you want us to just turn it over to you on May 1? I said, is that how you want to play this? You want to force us to sign this agreement? Or you won't let us check out our own equipment?
And you talked to the lawyer about that?
Yeah.
What did she say? Do we have the right to do modifications?
Right to do, you guys know that. We have a right to do that. But they're angry. They're hurt. They're now having to go back and examine their own operation without the city, without the revenue source that they got from the city in the past. And just like in a divorce, you're not real happy with your ex-wife or your ex-husband. And so that's what this is coming down to. And it's not pretty. And that's why you get those kind of responses.
But yet they want all the money still, but they don't want to do the work. That's what gets me. I'm not in favor of this at all. If we're paying for something, I'm not in favor of us giving it to them. That's what it is.
I kind of agree with Mark in that, you know, they're under contract and there's obligations in that contract, and yes, we're saying that we need to do some things to our own equipment. but you can't wash your hands of
your obligation
of your obligation under the contract just because
we had it tested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of, because once that equipment gets tested, I would rather keep. I don't believe for New York second that the fire district would do anything intentionally. But once we have that equipment inspected, we're going to have it inspected all over again. Mm-hmm. If we don't separate that now, we're going to have it inspected all over again when it gets closer to the end of the contract.
Well, that's why we're hiring the people to do that.
Right, but what I'm saying is we're going to have it inspected now.
No, our people.
Right, right.
The fire chief and then all the.
Right, but so we're going to have it inspected again.
And if we're hoping to have a fire chief by December 1st, then the December 1st, you know, is not a bad
date. Yeah, but that's just the chief.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do that.
So I think it's, I don't know how to say it without it sounding rude. I don't intend it to be, but I'd rather them just, once we have it inspected, just leave our stuff alone, you know?
Yeah, but we're going to still pay them for 7 months for something they're not going to do?
Well.
And then we'll have to pay
and
twice.
We're worried about $12,500.
What's it
for that? And
what's it costing us to have it inspected?
I think it was like 15, mm-hmm. 18,000, something like that.
We're looking at another 15,000 to 18,000 to have everything inspected again, you know.
What are we paying them for this 7 months that they're not doing nothing?
But, well, they are doing something. The only thing they're not going to be doing is testing our equipment and all that. They're still going to be going out and fighting fires. And
but
the way I believe it, from what I've seen, they're using their own equipment to fight fires and take care of stuff in the city limits.
But they're maintaining the equipment.
That's what I've seen.
That we hold. They're maintaining the equipment they have. The pumper, they're still doing their monthly, weekly, daily checks of the equipment. I see it out there when I drive by for work. They have the pumper out there. They're still maintaining the equipment device that's just sitting for a number of months, not being used, not being maintained.
Well, and that's where we need to get our motor pool involved. How, you know?
And that's why we can't sign this yet. We have to have somebody to do that.
We don't, my opinion, I'm not aware, we don't have a mechanism in place right now to perform those checks that need to be done in the interim. We're not ready to assume control of that equipment. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It doesn't appear.
Maybe this is just a little premature.
I think there needs to be a bit more negotiated conversation with the fire district and not have this grenade thrown at us. Let's try to be friendly about this. This is adversarial. We need to be a bit more friendly about this. There's a reality of the equipment and they know it. I'm going to assume they know it. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, city tax dollars that needs to be maintained in the interim.
Probably millions.
Yeah.
By the time we get done counting equipment, building, property, everything, it's got to be in the million, at least two.
I mean, through these inspections, will we find some issues that need to be resolved? Yes, it's expected. Are we going to wag fingers at them? We shouldn't. We should just all move forward, the fire district and the city, to get through this.
If it's broke.
Okay, the city knows we have to find the funding to repair it to make us ready. Here comes spring. That's the reality of it, where we are.
We still need to hire a
fire chief, hire a mechanic, firefighters, using training and establish policies and procedures. Buy additional equipment. All this has to happen, but right now we have assets that need to be maintained.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could talk with Mike on this.
What's that?
Maybe we could talk with Mike.
Right, I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. You guys want to go to a fire district meeting tomorrow night?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. I'm available in the evening.
So let's...
Continue.
Not take any action. Is that okay? And we'll attend the fire district meeting tomorrow night, and we'll bring up these issues with them. I'll let Tom know that we plan to attend.
We should get a feel for what their objective is. See it.
We need to be friendly to get through this. Yep. There's a lot at stake for all parties involved.
Okay, let's move to unfinished business. Do we have any tonight?
I had asked about Weed Spring last council meeting and a few council meetings before that.
Yeah.
And under the Public Works report, it just says weed something, but I haven't seen them. There's still the weeds in there. They're not dead.
Grown
like weeds.
There's some big kochia starting on the sidewalk right up here, just up above Leprechaun. So, right in the sidewalk.
That's what I've noticed between the asphalt and the curb, and the curb and the sidewalk. I've seen a lot of, you know, weeds.
Easiest place to spray.
But the alley, I mean, my alley's clean.
Can-Am sprayer, 2 hours.
I asked her this week.
2 hours. That's how much. 2 hours. That's what it says in her report right here.
Last month.
And Fir Street was a street that was, you know, gravel coated, oil gravel coated. And I asked to have that, you know, swept. Hasn't been touched.
What street?
Fir. All the way up through Fir Crest, all the way to Desdemona. There's loose gravel all over the road.
Okay. All right.
We spend a lot of money on all that spray equipment, and it's not getting used.
Maybe we should have just kept the contract.
Don't go there.
Sore subject. Okay.
That was one of the best moves the city ever made, was getting rid of that contract. And just, and I fully believe that Public Works will get on it, and they
just have to be tasked with doing it.
Right.
Because anyone can operate under a sprayer's license. If there's a licensed individual that's setting them up, telling them where to go, they can operate under his license.
I think 5 guys certified to spray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, then.
You got plenty of sprayers, and they all have aquatic licenses too.
Don't know what other tasking they have.
So, yeah, I'll have a discussion tomorrow morning. Any other new business or unfinished business?
Not unfinished, I have new.
What's your new business, Corey?
So I have a question, and I'm not sure if it's a question for AC Garza or for possibly you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that can be done about these electric bikes and scooters? They are getting so out of hand around town. I watched a kid, and the kid couldn't have been 12 or 13 years old, going down Scootney on an electric bike, passing every single car going down the road. People speed down Scootney as it is, and he was passing them. I see him flying down the road all the time. There's a couple of these one-wheeled electric scooters that's riding around town, and they're flipping in and out of traffic. And even these little scooters are flying around. Is there anything that can be done about those? Somebody's gonna get hurt or killed on one of those things.
So that's been brought up before as far as like anything legally. From what I've been able to find, as far as RCW-wise, no. Although they can always be changed with like a city ordinance, something we can enforce something that way. We do try and talk to them. We have had people that have come and talked to us. Some of them do zip by. As far as the scooters and the bikes, if they're using the sidewalks, if they're using the bike lanes, if they're wearing a helmet, there's not much we can do. If it seems like they're acting reckless or driving in an extreme reckless manner, then we can stop them, perhaps talk to their parents, let them know this is the way that they're driving, go for it that way. But as far as I know, and maybe Daryl, if you know, as far as RCW-wise, no.
Don't they have to pay the speed limit?
What is the classification for?
Yeah.
Because it's a motorized vehicle.
Well, and that's kind of where I'm getting at.
So it's they declared what the classification is for these electric bikes?
There is RCWs regarding motorized electric vehicles, and I don't have that in front of me. I just have seen in the past. There might be some traffic, modern traffic ordinances that can be, or RCWs that can be enforced for individuals not going with the flow of traffic, operating outside bike lanes. But that's something that I'm sure you could handle offline. And then you need the public to report it, take pictures of it, and send it to the police department so they can follow up on it.
Maybe we should check our ordinance. And do we have a helmet law for?
State of Washington does.
Statewide helmet law for motorcycles.
Mm-hmm. But
for a electric bike, it's a bicycle. And if we don't have a helmet requirement for bicycles, then I guess we couldn't enforce it. But if we created an ordinance where if you were on a bicycle, you have to have a helmet?
I mean, with an ordinance, that's basically up to what we want it to sound like. Electric bikes can't go more than 15 miles an hour or whatever the case may be. But as far as I've researched statewide RCWs, there's nothing that prohibits the electric bikes to be utilized. Now, do I think some of these electric bikes are overly powered? Yeah, I do.
Well, they're insane. Some of them can go like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Can you cite a bicycle rider that is obstructing or doing things that are incorrect? I mean, don't they have to follow the laws of the...
The rules of the road.
There's standards for bicycle riders, and if they're not even doing those and they're going 30 miles an hour down the road passing people, that's...
If they're using the roadway, then
yeah.
I would say that is a different story if they're utilizing the roadway. But if they're on the sidewalks, which isn't the roadway, then that is something different. You've mentioned the one on the unicycle ones. Are they on the roadway or are they on the sidewalk or the shoulder? Or
they're on the road, and they go through each lane, and I mean, they don't stop at the stop signs. They're just whipping out. They're whipping out, and it's across First Avenue that I've seen them.
Okay, they're on Broadway. He's on Broadway too.
Yeah, it's insane to me what some of these people are doing.
I was coming in from Cunningham from the dump on Saturday, and there were six kids, couldn't be more than 15, on electric bikes, all riding together, and they were coming off of the sidewalk, you know, doing the jump and then going back up on the sidewalk, and they were out in the road. And I'm just thinking, somebody's gonna nail them, you know? It's just gonna be an accident.
Well, what we can definitely do is look into the issue. We'll make a point to do that.
And those things do cook. They really, they roll.
Well, I was gonna ask, is it safe for them to be driving on the sidewalks? Because if they go 15 to 30 miles an hour, I mean, that could be a safety hazard for the pedestrians.
Could be. I mean, circumstances would dictate what is safe and what is not. I think 15 mm-hmm. miles an hour is too fast.
Yeah. Anyway,
I appreciate it.
Okay. Any other new business? Item 7, the council will receive the fire department report or the police department report. Got fire departments on my head. Public works report for August, and with no further business to come before the meeting, I'll adjourn tonight at 7:29 p.m.
I thought we were going to be here for